All right. We've been experiencing the concept of baldness, and it's been unique to try to pinpoint those things that we take so for granted, but they are a comfort to us, and then to realize that the Lord is focusing us and is sharpening our vision and our understanding, not just of the things that are around us, but ourselves, who we are, what creates our identity that we know. You know, God sees us for who we truly are, but do we see ourselves as God sees us? And that needs to be really honed, because when we see ourselves as God sees us, it gives us that unction to go forward in authority and in a purpose that may not have really come to us to go forward in. Perhaps our tendency is to kind of hold back and see where everybody else is going and then join in. But God is really about setting us apart and maybe even putting us in places where nobody else is, so that we become the lead, which carries a great amount of responsibility, because in that point, we have to really be demonstrating our relationship with the Father. And this is one thing that I really appreciate this house and you as saints gathered together, because we are really focused on relationship. It's really about our relationship with the Father. And when we have that relationship with Him, guess what? The things between us become intimate. And there is a compassion and a desire to move with one accord rather than to be marching to the beat of our own drum. Anyway, so baldness, this that we have been experiencing, is about God wanting us to be a part of a fruitfulness that consists of mighty things that have gone on personally within us. And when we remember, when we look back on our lives as they have transformed, we see things that other people haven't seen. We know when the transformation came. We know when things have changed. And sometimes it's just, you can't express that. It just is one of those things that we understand. And this is a powerful thing, to realize how God is changing us day by day. Because in this change that we go through, we realize that He is also changing nations. This is how He is going to bring about the great army of the last days. And so as we change, we are part of that work that changes the nations. And it involves the calling of the saints of all the countries to make a stand. And in making a stand, we have offered up who we have understood ourselves to be. And we want to really see how God sees us, so that we offer that up as well. And so it gives us a measure of insight of who we really are and how God is able to use our individuality in plugging us into those things and fitting us together as a body, so that we do supply as a joint. Every joint supplies. And I think what we are seeing in the natural has been an attack on the joints. And we have seen how those joints, when they are under stress or duress, affect the rest of the body. And so to be a supply for the body, we need to have that full function of what God has made us to be and be that so that we are fulfilling what has to be given through us. And so I am looking forward to making a declaration to the Father of all that I have been comfortable with. I'm giving to Him all that He has provided for me. I'm giving to Him, not that I haven't done it already, but to really to make that focus so that I am saying, here I am, send me. I am a package that you have put together and have formed and have strengthened and have reinforced. And now I stand before you with this, and I give it to you that I can be absolutely whatever it is that you need. There's nothing I'm holding back. And so this has been a process. And it began with our bakah, our crying out to the Lord, our weeping for His things to be done. And it's about the amazing things that He has carried out from the depths of who we have cried out from the depths of our spirit, from our ma'ah, where we say, I want more than anything for your work to be done. I want more than anything for your unity, for your peace to be established. I want more than anything for all that you have planned for your kingdom here on earth to be established. And that means that everything I am is going to be dedicated to that work. Amen? This is what I want. This is my pakah. This is what I'm crying out for. And my mourning we have experienced as our memory of our looking back, of our remembering the from the depths of who we are, what has taken place, what God has done, and what He has said about what He wants to do. Now, every time we go to the Scriptures and we're reading, there is this element of God showing us what He wants to do and how He wants to do it. And we cannot dismiss what God is doing because we're in a different time. You know, we can't say, okay, you know, that's the way He used to do things back in the day, you know. That was the way He had to talk to people back then because they didn't have what we have today. They were in the place we are today. And God has not changed. His methods are creative, and He is looking to function through us. And so we can be attuned to what God is saying through this fourfold progression, which has been shown matches up with the voices, thunders and lightnings and earthquakes of the throne of God. And so we've come to this point now as we have looked at Isaiah 22:12, where we are called to sackcloth, to adorn ourselves with darkness of sackcloth. So let's just look at Isaiah 22:12 here just a second, remind ourselves how this has came about. Now, Annette did a very good job of explaining the context of what was going on. If you remember, Assyria was coming against Jerusalem. And so there was that, okay, this is what's happening to you now. If you're going to serve, you know, why, you've done all these things to prepare, why haven't you come to me? So this is what God is calling His people, who are us, for today. And in that day, did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to gird with sackcloth? Answers, yes. He has called us to this because there is something that has to be accomplished that needs the power of where we are in girding ourselves up with sackcloth. And so this message this morning is the power of sackcloth. And it comes from these other three things, from the bakah, from the mourning, from the what's the third one? Baldness. Thank you. What the enemy does is try to cover up what the truth is. The truth has never been taken away. It's always been there. So what the enemy is doing is trying to divert the fullness of the truth. He changes a little here and a little there. So it still sounds good, but it's not the real thing. This is something we see in our points of leadership around our country. There is this cover up, and it's been said, and I've read this so many different places. The air is not so bad. It's the cover up that really destroys. I mean, if someone has made an error, confess it, own it, ask for forgiveness, pledge to overcome, but don't cover it up, because it will be found out. And this is the tactic that is being used. So this basic understanding of fasting with sackcloth is really an outward appeal to remove the covering, to take away the darkness, to let the truth truly be seen and understood. A good way to look at darkness is to see it as a place longing for light. It is a place where there is a hunger for truth to be made known, to be in rule, to reign. And it longs for the redemption of the Lord. That's what darkness is. And so this puts a whole vision for us of darkness as being not a scary, terrible, forbidding habitat of the enemy, though the enemy will hide there. We see it as a place that doesn't like the enemy to be in there and wants there to be light to come. And so I really had this vision this morning of saints coming to a point where the enemy had hid himself, and he was exposed and taken off out of the picture, body checked and dumped off the side of the hill. So, seeing it this way means that darkness is craving who we are. Darkness wants us to be there. And so we have a motivation then to be used of God to place us wherever He wants us in that darkness, because we carry the light. One of my favorite stories in the scripture was that of Jonah. Not the fact that, well, there was that wonderful thing about the great fish that was created especially to swallow him so that he wasn't digested and that he was able to be spit up later on, but the real marvel to me was the reaction that went on in Nineveh. You know, and as Jonah, it was such a large city, it took 3 days to walk through. And so as he went through and preached this message of repentance to the Ninevites, they took it seriously. They received the truth. They received the light. They became engaged in what he was saying. And the king heard of it. And the king, you know, was so overwhelmed by this message that God was looking at them closely, and there needed to be a change, or there was going to be full destruction. I'm not one to scare people into obedience. But truly, this was a point that they needed. And God gave it according to where they were. This is what they had to have. And look what happened. They not only put on sackcloth, the king demonstrated everything. He put on sackcloth, sat on a pile of ashes, and everybody in the kingdom went, yeah, we've got to do this. And they all dressed in sackcloth. They all put on that dark clothing that usually was made of camel hair or goat hair or something coarse. It had no color. It was black. And they would sit in ashes as repentance. And they even went so far as to drape it over their cattle, their animals. You know, I don't know how they got the chickens to wear that, but they were dressing everything in sackcloth. They weren't taking any exceptions, any possible way that they could miss the mark of the message of Jonah. And that is just that just blessed me to read that. I've always loved that, and I always felt like Jonah just had a wrong point of view on all that, and he made it all about himself. And he said, you know, God, you made me look like a fool. I told them they were going to have destruction, and they repented, and you stopped. Anyway, that's another story. So the result was a call to fast and sackcloth. And Scripture says, from the greatest of them into the least of them. And the king of Nineveh heard of it, not only put on sackcloth, but sat in ashes. And so it was their works that God saw. And I know that, you know, we're not saved by works, but there has to be that participation in what God's doing. There has to be a partnership. And we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about partnership. We're talking about relationship. And so this truly speaks about the power of the relationship that is commensurate with wearing of the sackcloth. And when coupled with meekness of the fast that comes from a contrite heart, the ashes, there is a transformation of atmosphere. There's a bringing forth of something that God is going to do. And so the nation of the spirit realm is influenced by how we are partnering with the Father. And the miracle entailed in this was the return to what God had intended or promised for that nation. And this is the miracle we work in now. This is how we move forward in what God is doing. He is going to do something miraculous. He has been doing things miraculously and changing us and changing this house and changing the nations around us. And this is what we've been commissioned to do as saints in our partnership with the Father. We are going to the Spirit-filled churches, and we are giving them light. We're giving them a greater vision of who they are. We're giving them an enlightened form of how God views them and how their relationship with the Father is going to establish His kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. So, literally, we have been called to bring light to the darkness of their understanding as we become enlightened with our understanding. And we are being sent to show and to teach what God has prepared us for and is then for them as well. We are part of the end time army. We are not just saying, okay, you guys down in South America, you're go, you know, you're the end time army. It is a recruitment that all of us join together. And we want to prophetically reveal the injustices that the enemy has fostered, that has separated us from our ordained responsibility as sons. We want them to see this because we have seen it, because we have come alongside the Father through the Spirit, by the blood of Christ, and we are establishing a relationship with what God desires, the way God desires it, and how He wants us to be sons and function as sons, and how He wants to give us even greater responsibilities as we mature in His family. So what is this value of the sackcloth? How potent is it? What is it that happens? Is it just putting on dark clothing and saying, you know, we're this is what it's for? And I think if we look at the first mention of sackcloth in the Bible, we're going to get a taste of the power, of the intensity of what the sackcloth represented. In Genesis 37, 31 through 34, Joseph has been declared dead. His brothers came back with his many-colored coat smeared with blood and said, sorry, Dad, but, you know, Joseph somehow got tangled up with something that ate him, and this is all that was left. And this is where the scripture comes in. Begin with verse 31 through 34. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. So this is the deception by the brothers. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And it says later that he would not be comforted. He would not be comforted. The anguish of the loss of his son was illustrated by the sackcloth. And I can't imagine the kind of guilt these brothers had in causing their father so much sorrow. Jacob was in such a state that nothing they could say would help him. And this is the kind of state that sackcloth indicates. It's the power behind what represents our intensity of our heart. It's a consuming desire that appeals to God for only what God can provide. And nothing the brothers could say would comfort Jacob. It was a place where Jacob could only find his solace in his relationship with God. And so Jacob placed himself in a position that's demonstrated his full humility. I have nothing else, he says, apparently. All he held that was dear is now ashes upon which he sat. And only God could make sense of this. We have to know that no matter what we're going through, only God can make sense of it. You can try to figure it out. You can try to prepare. You can try to soften the blow. That's what was going on in Jerusalem in Isaiah. They had tried to figure out everything that they could do to make themselves survive this terrible attack from Assyria. We can try to hedge our bet. We could exchange all of our cash for gold. I'm getting that over the radio all the time. Gold is the thing. Yeah, try to spend a bar of gold. I want a big gold clunk. No matter what we have thought we could anticipate and prepare ourselves to meet, it's worthless. What we need is to come before the Lord and say, I have nothing. To have this sackcloth upon ourselves so that God can speak to us and make sense of where we are. To say, it's all yours. I'm just here. And certainly, God demonstrated exactly that. How many years later? Years and years. And finally, Jacob was reunited with his son, who was in a place now that saved the family and preserved them for years and years and years till they became a great nation that would come out into the promised land. So sackcloth is this outward expression of a contrite heart and a readiness to be caught up into the wind of God, to that secret place of thunder. It is that earthquake. And we recognize the true nature of what God's doing. He is changing the topography. He is changing the atmosphere in the spirit. And we are part of that. But we have to know that all the sackcloth in the world, apart from the direction of God, does nothing. And I was thinking on this, and the Spirit was showing me that this is exactly what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 13. We know that by heart, right? It's a love chapter. And we're not going to read it, but, you know, he was saying basically, without agape, without this passion for what God is passionate for, we can speak in tongues, we can prophesy, we can understand the mysteries of God, we can talk about the things that are not as though they are. We can give all that we have to feed the poor. We can even sacrifice our physical bodies to the flames. Or we can add, we can dress in sackcloth from now till we die. And if it has not that passion that God has given us and shares with us, and we with Him, it's worthless. It's worthless. So it comes down to this. It's all about our relationship. It's all about what controls the steering wheel of our heart. And what we do in preparation for the equipping to be the end time army. Is it digging trenches? Is it building walls? Is it hedging our bet? It really, preparing ourselves for the end is to make sure that we are giving it all. And this is this balding effect. We take the fruit of who we are and we offer it to the Lord. And it is in our humility and our obedience that this fast of sackcloth is totally about the light of the Lord. It displaces darkness at the specific time, at the specific moment that God directs. We just don't go marching off on our own. We go at the direction of God. The wearing of sackcloth is about us looking for what God originally intended, so that there is a full restoration in us and those that we speak to. We give a fullness of what God wants to those who are listening, so that there is no lack in their understanding. And this will be a point for us to be delivered from anything that is causing us to want something for ourselves. You know, what can I get out of it? What will this be good for me? And start evaluating rather than saying, the Lord has asked for it, I'll go. God is building on, he is building us on an internal foundation. He is giving us what will last for eternity. And so we give who we are as ashes of the past things that we have accomplished and that we have understood. It's this Nazarite offering of hair, so to speak. And this is the fruit of our faithfulness. And we allow that to be those ashes, the dust that is to be swept up by the breath of God and to become as incense. And so our living sacrifice is to become the dust before the fire of God. We need to continually understand the significance of sackcloth in the combination with the prayer of faith. As we look at things that seem to be impossible, Jacob, he said, my son's gone. It's impossible to ever see him again. And yet, God brought them back together. There are things in our life that we think, that'll never happen. It's gone. I'm done. But God has a way. God has purpose. So for these past 4 weeks, we have been accepting our commissioning to sit on a nest that is not ours. And in this, we are crying out to recognize the vitality of who God has created us to be and for the life that is there to come forth. It comes from the depths of our spirit. We become the voice of the throne of God. We cry His cry. We cry His ways. We cry His desire, His purpose. And we mourn. We reflect on what God has said about what He wants to do that has been abandoned or twisted. And we will stay with that until it becomes life, until it becomes what it's supposed to be. We are remembering all the things that God has said and what He wants to do. And we become that thunder that comes from that secret place. We have been doing mighty things for God as part of our Nazirite vow. This is something that we are living daily. And we have offered our fruitfulness that God wanted to accomplish. We have given ourselves as living sacrifices. We are listening to hear God's assignment for us. And so in that, we're going to go forth. We are going to paratz. We're going to break through as lightning. We are continuing to go forward on behalf of something that God wants done. And in this boldness, in our fulfillment of the Nazirite vow, we are demonstrating what God has called us to be. We are here saying, here I am. Send me. Let me represent you in this new thing. Let me declare life here is come. And all these things have to be in place so that our sackcloth, our girding ourselves up, our covering ourselves, will change the spiritual landscape, will be that earthquake that makes the topography of what we have known become what God wants. That's exciting. To know that God's in control and God is using what we see, who we are, to bring that kind of change that we've seen spoken about throughout the Scriptures. God is still working that way, and it's in us now. Our fast of sackcloth will be as the earthquake, leaving nothing standing but the fundamental purpose of God. Hallelujah. So, as this prayer team goes forth, Apostle Ron and Prophetess Monica and Pastor Robert, we want to cover them because they are truly bringing light to a point of darkness. I'm not saying that this nation is like void of their faith in God. They just need to know more of who they are. They are being enlightened to their identity and how God views them and how He's expecting them to respond to Him in partnership. This is a wonderful thing. And this is something I'm very, very thankful for. And this is something that as we intercede on their behalf, we partner in that work. We are a part of the power of the sackcloth, of light going into the darkness. And so, along with celebrating the baldness, we can start with sackcloth. And consider the effectiveness of this fourfold progression that moves us forward in the kingdom of God. We're doing this not just on behalf of those that are being spoken to, but it's about us in relationship with the Father. We want the people groups of the world to understand their position before the throne as we have understood our position and continue to mature in that understanding. So we are doing this on behalf of our partnership with Adonai, the one who places us where we are, the one who has called us to be where we are right now and has called us to be in this place where we are mighty in partnership with Him, doing the things that He has called us to do. And so I just want to bless those that are going out next week. And I bless this house as we support and partner in that work. This is not us and them. This is all of us together. And I just speak this blessing of strength, of sackcloth, of that ability to understand fully our relationship with the Father and how He sees us and how we stand in our true identity before His throne. And how that matches up with the voices of the throne. And in this sackcloth, we are that agent that is going to transform the spiritual atmospheres. And I thank You, Father. I thank You for what You brought us to. And we are ready to move forward according to Your purpose. In the name of Jesus, we say amen.